Our second reading this morning is also from the Gospel of Matthew on the next page, which it says 3 in your pew Bibles, verses 1 to 11. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took Jesus to the holy city, and placed him on a pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Holy wisdom, holy word. Please join me in prayer. God, who from ancient times until now continues to speak in the wilderness, calling us to new ways, speak to us afresh, either through or in spite of my words, that we may open our hearts and minds and whole lives to walk more deeply and follow more clearly in your way. We pray in the name of Jesus, your word and your wisdom. Amen. So while Lent officially began last Sunday, because of Pastor Katie's family leave, the worship team decided that today would be the day that we would officially enter together into a Lenten season in which we will be listening to wilderness voices. What is the wilderness in our lives and in our times? How is it calling? Who are the wilderness voices that are calling to us in our present day wilderness? Personally, I've felt wilderness callings for much of my life in different ways. Recently, in December, I met with Katie to talk with her about her leave, and we got into a conversation about Lent. I had just started reading Brené Brown's book, Braving the Wilderness, which is her most recent book, where she's turning her attention to how we can live and walk into the crisis of our life together with strong backs, soft front, wild hearts. On New Year's morning, I awoke from a dream that got my attention. I won't go into the details of the dream, but I'd been asked to help with a transition of a transformational pastor at a professor at a seminary. But what got my attention the most, that when I woke up, it was like there was a force field of energy around me saying, you need to follow more clearly in the way of Jesus. Now, I confess that this is not the way I usually wake up in the morning. Those of you who know me well would probably find a lot of confirmation in that. So it got my attention, and it got my attention even more a few weeks later when I got an email from a friend of mine who said she was hesitant, but she had to share this dream that she had had. Now, my friend was a priest who has left the church to follow a wide calling. And she tells me that in her dream, I've asked her and a few others to support me as I discern how to follow the radical message of Jesus, which in the dream is closely connected to the wild, the wilderness wild, and also the wild heart. That's pretty wild, right? That's pretty wild. Now, I am someone who does try to listen to my dreams. A teacher of mine once said that God is speaking to us in our dreams with a megaphone every night, and seldom we listen. And in many traditional cultures, some, the first thing they do in the morning is they come together, they share their dreams, and they also know that their dreams are not always just for them, but for often can be for a community. So I can't say for certain why my friend, who didn't know I was thinking about Brené Brown, or that I'd been talking with Katie, or that I had this dream on New Year's and woke up to this, she didn't know any of that. I can't say why she dreamed, like an acupuncture point of what I was dreaming and thinking about, but I will say that it did get my attention, and it's getting my attention still. So this morning, I invite us to listen to our scripture text and how the Spirit might be speaking to us through the question of what it means to follow in the radical way of Jesus as it connects to wilderness wild and wild heart. In all three of the synoptic gospels, the ones that tell the narrative of Jesus' life, Jesus is baptized in the wilderness by the wild wilderness prophet John the Baptist. In baptism, Jesus goes into the waters of the River Jordan and then comes up and the heavens open and he sees the Spirit of God descending like a dove, resonant of God's Spirit hovering over the waters in the Genesis story where the whole entire world was being created. And the Spirit proclaims Jesus as the absolutely beloved divine child. Jesus is God's commissioned agent for the realm or empire of God, which is in distinct contradiction to the ruling empire of Rome and the collusion of the religious elites. And then immediately following his baptism, unlike how often when we get jobs, we're expected to arrive early, briefcase in hand, half of our to-do list already done and briefed. Jesus, on the other hand, follows this call of the Spirit to enter for the wilderness for 40 days. 40 appears many times in the Bible, usually designating a time of radical transition or transformation. Among the most famous examples, the 40 days and nights during the flood when Noah's on that boat. The Exodus records Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai with God, and of course we might recall that the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years, which is how long it took them amidst their murmurings to be transformed in the people that were ready to enter the land. And wilderness is also a theme in Judaism, as the Jewish rabbi Jesus would have studied wilderness. Over half of the Torah takes place in the wilderness. The word for wilderness in Hebrew, which can be understood as a place without speech, is the same as for this place of silence from which all speech arises, all speech is born. And the central prayer in Judaism is Shema, listen. Listen that you will experience the oneness and unity of all reality, and that you will love this God and reality with all your heart and all your soul and all your might. In wilderness, there's emptiness, there's silence, there's danger. It's a place of challenge, it's a place of testing, and it's also a place of revelation. So Jesus enters the wilderness and fasts for 40 days and nights, and he is famished. He's famished, he's vulnerable, and he's fiercely tested by Satan. As Katie has been teaching the last few weeks, we must remember that the people during Jesus' time understood that there's this cosmic battle going on between God and Satan. There's a powerful outside demonic force that works against God's purposes, a force that is beyond anyone's person's to control, and it has a superhuman quality to it. So Jesus, in his most vulnerable state, encounters the force of these temptations by Satan. Now, Satan is not really questioning in this text whether Jesus is capable of accomplishing all the miracles he suggests. He doesn't question that. What Satan is doing, he is testing Jesus' allegiance. He's tempted and tested by the forces of his allegiance. So if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread to the famished Jesus at a time when food scarcity was rampant. And the other two temptations, the devil takes him to from the margins of the wilderness to the holy city in this high mountain for testing his glory and his allegiance. Where is the wilderness of our lives and in our times, and how is it calling? Wilderness can mean many things to each of us in different times in our lives. We walk through wilderness when we're in grief, or we find ourselves wrestling with the principalities and powers in our times, including racism and all the forces that seek to diminish and divide us. Wilderness in our time is also endangered. We continue to destroy and poison our wild spaces. We rarely allow for wild places within us. I have two friends who I think of when I think of wilderness. One of them, Patty, went recently to the Yukon Territory, and she came back changed by the vastness that she experienced, one of the farthest places of human tainting. Another friend of mine, Diane, lived in a yurt, in a tent, in a yurt by herself in a canyon in northern New Mexico for 7 years. For 7 years, in the winter, in the summer, she lived in this yurt. I remember the first time I stayed in it, I was terrified to stay there in one night. When I'm with Diane, I feel like I can feel the wilderness breathing through her. It's left an incredible mark on her life. In terms of listening in wilderness and our allegiance, I also on one of my retreats, I actually shared this, it's in our bulletin, which we'll get to later, but a couple years ago at Artwell, students and adults together, young people and students together, all students, young people and adults, wrote together an alternative pledge of allegiance. As a collective poem that actually was boards displayed in City Hall that said with vote on it. And it was right before all the council people entered into the chambers. There was this alternative pledge of allegiance. I shared this, and Patty, actually, my friend, wrote a prayer of allegiance at the end of our retreat, and it was incredibly powerful. And it feels like a call to rethink afresh, where is our allegiance and to whom? And what about wild heart? I love contemplating wild heart and the ways that Jesus embodies wild heart. Have you ever thought about that? The wild heart of Jesus, the vastness of his love, the closeness of his own being to the wild, the ways he crossed so many boundaries of race, gender, class, culture, between doubt and faith, between fear and courage, between life and death. And I love listening to the Spirit calling us to untame and unfetter our hearts so that we might receive and share wild-hearted joy, wild-hearted love, wild-hearted welcome, wild-hearted indignation at the things that we want to fight for. When I was thinking about it, I actually think that Tabernacle is a church of the wild heart. In our history, there's a history of radical welcoming, of sanctuary. There's a history of listening to wild callings and questions and even allowing them to become entities and nonprofits, 10 or 12 of them that are beyond the bounds of our church. So in all this, I actually think that in this season, while we might be the church of the wild heart, a tabernacle in the wilderness, It's a season when we can listen to that in fresh ways and listen to how we're being called to possibly live wilder still. So I have prepared, there's some questions and practice, wilderness questions and practices that I have that I'll put at the back of the sanctuary that we can talk about in tab.edu, but feel free to take one. And I welcome being together in this season and listening in with strong backs, soft fronts, and wild hearts to the callings of the Spirit to lead us ever more deeply into wilderness to the voice of God. Thanks be to God.